This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning in studio, we have guests from Main Street Murfreesboro, and we'll be talking about some of the different events coming up. And we have Executive Director Sarah Callender, and also with us today, Dr. Gloria Bonner and Carl Wingruber.
You got it.
It doesn't look hard to say until you actually say
it's deceptively difficult.
So how are all y'all doing this morning?
Good morning. We're excited.
Still need to eat breakfast, though.
So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about Main Street Murfreesboro for those who may be new to the area.
Yeah. So Main Street is about to celebrate their 35th anniversary. So if you're new to the area, or if you've been here and just haven't heard about us, Main Street is part of the National Main Street Program. So it's all about preservation of the historic downtown. But our mission is to enhance, maintain, and promote the historic downtown as the heart of the community. So we're all about placemaking, making everybody feel welcome downtown, and supporting those small businesses.
And we've seen a lot of changes in downtown Murfreesboro, and we have a whole lot more to come.
That's right. Over the next 5 years, I'm sure a lot, especially on the outskirts of the square, the downtown, will look a lot different. But I think for the good, it's going to bring a lot more people walking downtown and living downtown.
Yeah, we've got a lot of living planned, hotel space as well, plus bridges across Broad Street to get to a future park area.
Right. Some more green space, which is a great aspect for any historic downtown. You can be kind of cut off from the rest of the community, and I think this is a great way to expand the walkability and families having green space to come out and enjoy, but then also to come downtown and shop and eat.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, the first Saturday Marketplace opened for the season. That's going on up until the end of October.
That's right.
But you also have the first concert of the concert series, Friday Night Lights, coming up too.
Yes, and everybody always calls it Friday Night Lights.
I'm gonna say Friday
Night Live. I think it's because of that TV show, which
is,
I absolutely love.
Is it football or something?
It is football. It just makes sense. We should change the name. No, it's Friday Night Live, and yes, we are kicking it off next Friday, June 7th.
And tell us about that first concert.
Okay, well, that's why I brought my guest on here, Carl, because if you haven't met Carl, he is just a treasure for this community. He's so talented, and he's been a part of the Main Street program just in music-wise and advising and for years. We found out you were the very first band that ever performed at Friday Night Live, so I'm excited to have Carl with me.
2005. And just to your Friday Night Lights comment, my band is big enough to be a football team.
There'll be
21 of us on the stage week.
So how do you have a band with 21 band members? That's got to be tough to kind of organize from time to time.
How do you do it, Carl?
It is. It's a lot of schedules. But believe it or not, it's not a lot of drama. You'd think there'd be at least some drama somewhere. Sometimes I think I have to start some just to make it interesting. You know?
That's right.
But if you jump back, if you just Google bands of World War II, you'll see that every band was that size. And that's the focus. What we do is World War II, you know, Americana music, swing music.
You go back in time and you do see that bands were huge. They would also play live on the radio back then.
Oh, yeah, because there was no such thing as pre-taped then. And the size of the band, the first thing I wonder when I see those pictures is, how did they make any money? This is right in the middle of the Great Depression.
Yeah,
how did that work?
Good question.
I wonder about that with how much I pay you. How do you guys make any money? You obviously do it because you love it.
It's
right?
A labor of love.
Yeah.
My core group has been with me for. We started the band in 2003, and most of my core group is there because they believe in what we're doing. You know, our mission statement, if you will, is to keep that music alive.
Those who are band members, are they all full-time band members or some retired? What do they do in their daily life?
Oh, well, that's as varied as there are people. Some of them are teachers. There are a couple that are retired, either as band directors or teachers, or just they're retired from their day job. You know, I think I've got a couple of attorneys. It's quite a mix.
You've got some professional band members.
Yeah, and a lot of them have played professional and continue to play. Some of them, you know, I think the musician's dream is to be able to juggle performing life and some kind of professional day gig, as we call it.
So what made you want to start Music City Swing?
Well, it's a really long story, but I'll tell you what. When I was 13, my mother got one of those, you pick it up in the grocery store line, a little cassette tape, $2.99. It was the greatest hits of Glenn Miller. And something happened to me that day. It sounds like I'm making it up, but this is the truth. I was hooked. I heard those sounds. I heard da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was hooked. And I had just started playing in the middle school band, so I was learning the saxophone. And I thought, I want to do that. And ever since then, I mean, I loved all the other kinds of music. I grew up with hair bands, you know, glam rock and all that too. I was a kid of the 80s, but it was always that big band stuff that attracted me more than anything.
Now, do you ever take some of those big hair band songs and try to put those into what you do?
As a matter of fact, we'll be doing one next week. We have a Van Halen song.
Oh my goodness.
You guys have heard of Paul Anka, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He recorded an album called Rock Swings, and on there he does, it's all 70s and 80s rock done in the big band style, and we do his version of Jump.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sounds like something you'd hear in a lounge. I get up, nothing gets me down. Oh, you know, that kind of thing.
The one that goes, jump, jump.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the one. You're not going to believe it.
Got somebody singing in there as well?
Yeah, we have a four-person vocal group that fronts the band.
With
and
you?
I'm lucky.
You're the
I'm
headline.
One of them. But the ladies, it's three ladies and me, and they're nice enough to let me sing with them. I give them a low harmony.
Where are some of the more interesting places you've played over the years?
Let's see.
Main Street, of course, number one. But
yes, definitely Main Street. Yeah. No, hey, all thanks to Sarah for keeping us working. We did a fundraiser back in 2010, I think it was, with Tim Conway at Fried Hardeman University. And he was hilarious and great. And of course, he talked about Harvey Korman, and they played the dentist sketch. You know, the crazy dentist sketch from Carol Burnett. They did all of that. And then the next year, they liked us so much, they invited us back. And Mike Huckabee was the guest speaker. And he actually played with the band. We got Mike Huckabee to play swing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
He what does he play?
He's a bass player.
Okay.
And it was funny. He came to the rehearsal that day, and he said, you guys are going to learn to appreciate your own bass player much more today. Because he said, I haven't had any time to learn your song. I think I sent him the music 2 months in advance or something. And he said, I'd appreciate it if your guy would just play along with me. So we've got some pictures up on our Facebook page of both of them playing together. But yeah, he did a Brian Setzer swing song with us.
That's pretty cool.
You know, and it was really fun he was Governor Huckabee then. And so it was kind of fun to have a governor that I was conducting, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's very interesting. So let's see, we've worked with Jimmy Fortune from the Statler Brothers. We played over at the Ag Center a few years ago for our troop returning. I think it was the 138th. It was kind of nice. We were on the same bill as Lee Greenwood.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. George Jones was still alive then. We got to do some nice things. You wouldn't think that with a band doing what people call old music that we'd be so active, but we've been in some diverse places.
And what's the most interesting story you have from those years of playing?
Oh, goodness.
Mad fans running on stage? Or?
you'll have to let me think about that one. I'll have to decide which ones I can tell.
Also with us today, Dr. Gloria Bonner. Now, you've long been a part of Main Street Murfreesboro.
I have. I think it's been over 20 years, Sarah.
Yes.
Yes, for a long time.
You have seen the changes in Murfreesboro. You've seen the growth in Rutherford County, and that growth has been pretty massive.
Well, that's the beauty of being a product of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, because it's just been so exciting to see our community evolve in the way that it has. Yeah. And I love downtown Murfreesboro. But I remember, Carl, when you used to play New Year's Eve celebration at First Pres, think of that.
That's right.
That's another different venue for you. And that was exciting.
Yeah, there's some stories come out of that, Scott.
Oh, no.
That was always fun.
Yeah, that was the brainchild of Tom and Gloria Christie.
Yes,
whom I'm sure you know.
I do. You know, it's interesting always to hear about different bands and stuff that are in our area, because you've got this massive music capital next door to us in Nashville, and so you do often have these professional musicians who are part of all of these little bands on the side. Of course, your band's not little, but but it's
local,
always
local bands.
It does make it interesting, though.
Yeah, that, and I'll bring Dr. Bonner into this. So, I mean, I've just been in this position for 5 years, so I'm just trying to continue the legacy of what she and Carl, you know, all of these people that have poured into the Main Street program have created and set up. But part of it, what she has taught me to carry on, is that music brings people together. And so, like, Main Street can do everything to, like, work with preservation and helping keep the old buildings and small businesses, but to bring people and make, especially all these new people moving here, feel like they can come, which is part of, like, the farmers market, you know, it makes you feel like you're part of the community. That's what these concerts have done. And she's really, I mean, you can speak into that about how music crosses all, you know, it's a way to bring a diverse group together.
I agree. Because Murfreesboro is such a part of a rich legacy. And I can remember on the MTSU campus attending forums with Dr. Charles Wolfe, William Richardson, Don Martin, all of the great artists that were here years ago. And it has a way to foster and build a sense of community. And that's what the Friday Night Live does for us. Don't you just enjoy? It's intergenerational, and we are a dancing community.
Oh, yeah.
We love to dance.
That dance floor is full.
All age groups. And then you have the National Dance Club and other communities, dance communities that show up for that event.
I recently read an article about how Murfreesboro in the Rutherford County area is growing at a pace of about 6 to 8% faster than Tennessee as a whole. And I thought that was interesting, but it says a lot about our community, not only for the accessibility that we have to, you know, all these major places, but also the fact that people want to move here.
Well, it builds a sense of belongingness. And I think that's really critical coming out of COVID, post-COVID era. And people enjoy it. They have fun. It's family friendly. And it's a way to reconnect.
Definitely. And you know, it's a little cheaper than some of the other areas, like, well, California, for example. You have a lot of people moving here from California because California is so expensive, but you can move here for, you know, a quarter of the price that it costs to live there. But we've really become a melting pot. I mean, there's so many different backgrounds living here now in Rutherford County.
And that's what's fun when you come downtown, because you can go anywhere in Murfreesboro and you don't really get a snapshot of what the community looks like as a whole. But when you come downtown, especially like at these events where people are coming to from all over, like the farmers market and the Friday Night Live concerts, you see different nationalities and, you know, different social economic groups. And like Dr. Bonner said, they're sitting side by side and they're dancing, and you can't help but have a smile on your face when you hear someone like Carl, you know, up there playing some swing music. So it equals out everybody.
Right. I love the collaboration that we have, because you have the mayoral support, Rutherford County, Murfreesboro City. You've got the first responder support. They have a real presence. And then you have the university in with the process as we're working on different projects, but you have them all there together celebrating Friday Night Live.
And again, the first big concert coming up for Friday Night Live is not this Friday, but next Friday. And Music City Swing will do that opening performance, and that will kick off the whole season.
That's right. And then it's in full swing from there. So
Carl gets to set the tone for us.
Now, Sarah, how do you guys pick out the different groups that do play on those concerts?
That's a great question. I, well... I get a lot of requests throughout the year, and I keep all those requests in a folder, and I listen to the music. And to be honest, I am looking for music that wouldn't isolate any particular group. And so I try to have a different genre for each month. So like Carl is the first month with this big swing, the swing type music. And then the O'Donnells are playing in July, and they're more the old country. And then I try to always have a new band come that no one's heard of. The Nashville Alternators from Nashville are coming, and they're 80s, 90s. And then we have R&B with Biz and the Everyday People, which is an old school band from, I think they performed a couple years ago before
That's
me.
Right.
And so you try to throw in something that everybody will like at some point.
Now, what's interesting about the big band style music is that we used to have a military base in Rutherford County, and they had big bands coming out there to perform certain days of the week for the military.
Mm. Yeah, down the hall here at your station, you've got there's a big band performance, the Johnny Long Orchestra.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that this morning because there's a fellow in North Carolina, I think his name, well, it's interesting, his name is Bruce Long. Huh. I don't think it's any relation, but there may be. But his orchestra is recreating the songs that group played back in the day. And I've been helping him write out the parts and stuff. So it kind of reminded me of that when I saw the picture. I think it's great you guys have that history on the wall there.
Yeah, and that was at the Seward Air Force Base.
Yep.
And that, a lot of those different performances, they were broadcasted on the, I believe, the Liberty Broadcast Network. Mm-hmm. And we happened back then to carry it live, and it went from our station to I don't know how many other stations, but a lot of other stations way back then. I'm not real sure how they did it back then, but it was interesting.
Yeah, the way that worked back then with live performances and I had the opportunity, I won't take all your time here, but to meet the last surviving member of Benny Goodman's 1939 orchestra. It was a singer. Her name was Louise Tobin. She passed away 2 years ago at age 104.
Oh my.
She had it all together. She hadn't, you know, mentally deteriorated or anything. I don't know what the proper term is, but she told me all these stories. She's actually the person who discovered Frank Sinatra. She just heard a boy singer on the radio, and her husband was the trumpet player Harry James, and she woke him up and said, "Harry, we got to go down and hire this kid." And that's how Frank Sinatra got his first job singing with Harry James. Anyway, she was a treasure trove of history, and I asked her, "How did you make those records?" And she said, bands in those days, I mean, you couldn't punch in, you couldn't digitally edit all the people record in their living rooms now. Back then, everybody was crowded into one room around one or two microphones, and it was a live performance. And if somebody in the back of the room messed up, you got to run it back and do it again.
You know, music over the years has been such an integral part of our lives. And I don't know if it was more so back in the 50s, 60s, or if it's more so now. Of course, the way you got music then versus now is a lot different.
Right.
But it is interesting to look back and to recognize how a lot of these bands, they would perform, and it would be one take, and that's it. They wouldn't recut anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are. I have heard the occasional cracked note from a trumpet player in a Glenn Miller recording, you know, and I
only
guess
only you, Carl.
I could point to songs where his singers sing off key, but you know, they left it on there because most people, I guess, are not going to catch it.
That's right.
You know,
right.
But you can't hide from me.
So the big performance coming up next Friday, and what time do you guys actually go on stage to start?
Is it 6:30, I mm-hmm. believe, and we go till 9:30 at least.
Yeah, 3 hours.
You know,
you take a really short break in the middle of it, but I mean, that's a long performance.
It is
for a free concert.
Now, when you put all this together, I know there's a lot that goes into it, but you're talking a full stage, mm-hmm. sound system, lights, all of it. How long, Sarah, does it take to actually put all this together each month?
Well, I mean, I've started back in December booking the bands. I try to get them booked before the new year, and we work with concert production, so they give us a great deal. They've been doing the staging for years, and they take care of us. And then, like Dr. Bonner said, you know, collaboration with the county government, yes, the city government, you know, because the square gets shut down, the police come out to keep it safe. There's just so many little details. It takes months to plan for these, and then we just pray really hard for good weather. And which, yeah, the last couple, I mean, since I have 5 years now, we've not canceled a concert, so God has been good to us. But you know, if we have to, we'll make it up. But yeah, it takes a while, but it flows. I mean, it's a pretty easy event for me, you know, compared to other events that we put on. Everybody knows what they have to do. These bands are so professional. They come in, do a sound check at 4:30. Concert production sets the stage up Friday morning, and it happens.
And we have record attendance.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think the average is 2,000. Mm-hmm. And then, like Carl was mentioning, I like this, if you have time. So you were talking about the band. Well, so last year, no, 2 years ago, we had a band come in, and now my mind's going blank. They did the Yacht Rock. So that's something interesting. So you bring in music that people haven't heard of, you know, like, and Carl, who's his music expert, was like, I don't know about Yacht Rock. I'll let you tell the story. But then what happened? I mean, what did you?
Well, I think it was actually last fall, wasn't it? You guys had them? They were called Monsters of Yacht, which is a cool name. And I came down because I wanted to see what it was about. And a friend of mine, a fellow sax player, was playing with them that night. He gets picked on a lot because he looks exactly like the actor Rob Schneider. It's uncanny. You should, yeah, anyway. I had only heard from other musicians, you know, that, oh, it's Yacht Rock, and I didn't really know why they were not interested. But then I went and watched the band, and they were wonderful, and the crowd was eating up, and they were doing songs that you could never get away with on the bar circuit. I mean, they were up there doing Exile and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
A huge variety then.
Yeah, and it's all these songs that musicians would love to get to play. And so Yacht Rock has, that genre has given them a chance to do all these songs that you would never, ever, ever get to do under any other conditions. And the public has really dug in.
They did, they dressed
the part.
Oh yeah, they had the wigs and the colored clothes. It was great.
Now, when you look at different types of music, I know you said that you do, or you're going to be doing some of the hair band stuff, like Jump from Van Halen. Mm-hmm. How do you go about picking your songs?
Well, it's an ever going process, I guess you'd say. But we built the book on getting all the good Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, the whole thing, all the standards, you'd say. I mean, you better have In the Mood in your book if you're going to play, you know, and a whole bunch of others. And so then we decided we wanted to have a few little extras. We wanted to distinguish ourselves from other bands that might be doing the same thing. So that's, we started doing, you know, the Van Halen. I believe we have, we haven't played it in a while, but we have we're going to do some Skinner next week.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. They have a swing song. You know that song, I Know a Little?
Yeah.
It's a swing song.
Is it a
we
swing?
We actually rehearsed it last night, and it's we're going to trot it out next week.
So what defines a swing song?
It's got the same beat. Now, if you were to put the drum part from I Know a Little right side by side with what the Glenn Miller band was playing, it's the same beat. It's that, you know? And I mean, it's the exact same thing. They just put southern rock country over top of it. You know, I guess it's southern swing at that moment or something.
That's pretty cool. Do you ever have people in the crowd holler out, "Well, can you do this?"
Oh yes, all the time. And I'm usually pretty good about it. We do draw the line at things like Freebird. You know, I don't really see us doing Freebird, or you know, people ask. I always wonder, do you see the band up there? Do you see what we are? And you're coming here asking me for Lady Gaga or something from Adele. Maybe one day we'll figure it out.
Well, Scott, I'm known for asking him to play the song Gloria. Oh. I think there are 26 different songs named Gloria, but he knows how to do that.
So do you perform that, Gloria?
We have, yeah. We try to do anything that Gloria asks, because when Gloria asks, you don't say no.
Hey, there's a Sarah song.
There is.
What is that? REO Speedwagon? Who does the Sarah song?
Starship, isn't it?
Starship?
I don't know.
Sounds About right, yes.
I may not have the voice type for that one, but possibly. Yeah, we should do that,
Carl.
We should do that.
We have fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Could have a whole series of just name songs.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time we've done something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when somebody hollers from the crowd, hey, can you play such, is that considered a heckler? You know, like as if you were at a comedy show where somebody in the crowd makes fun of the person up there on stage, that would be a heckler. But in music, do you
not
have
really
that?
It happens sometimes, even for a swing band like us. Occasionally, somebody, here's a story for you. You asked me for a story.
Yeah.
I've had this happen more than once over 22 years of running a band. They don't just holler from the crowd. They come up on stage, and I figure they've had, you know, they've been generous with the drinks or something. That's a good way to put it.
The lemonade. Yeah.
And they're coming up there and grabbing my mic while I'm trying to sing something. Hey, can you do this?
Literally grab the mic.
They grab the mic.
What
either,
do you say?
Either because they want to request something or they want to sing. I know that one. Let me do it.
And their family's all walking away very quickly.
Pretty much.
And some bodyguards.
How do you return from that? What do you do when that kind of stuff happens?
Well, my philosophy with all things like that is I keep it funny if I can.
Yeah.
I keep it funny, and I don't, if it irritates me, it generally doesn't irritate me, but if it does, I just don't show it. You know, you got to be professional. You want to be a showman, and you don't want to do anything to alienate the crowd or... You know, I don't want anybody to think badly of me or my band or anything. So we just try to keep it funny, and most of the time it works out.
And for the audience, you know, I'm guessing half the time they don't know if that's part of the show.
Yeah, there have been moments where I thought, wow, this looks scripted almost, yeah. And it's fun, you know?
So you just roll with it.
Yeah. That's actually a good philosophy for many things in life, but especially on stage. Roll with it.
That's right. I can't. That would be very odd, though, to have somebody literally come up on the stage, grab the mic from you, and attempt to either start singing or request a song live.
Yeah, I was thinking that this wasn't a swing show, but this is way back. This is before I was in North Carolina. I was playing a club over in Black Mountain, and there were two things I remember from this gig. For some reason, people in the crowd were throwing potatoes at us.
That could leave a mark,
yeah,
right there.
But then my favorite was some guy rushed the stage. Again, we've got that. And he had a flute. We were playing the song Mustang Sally. And he ran up there with a flute and starts playing really loud in the microphone. And nowhere near the key we're in.
Typically, you don't see men with flutes in bars a whole lot.
Exactly. That was, and it was a biker bar. Go figure.
So, did you let him play the flute?
Well, we didn't have much choice. Well, what we did was we just kind of went over to the soundboard and pulled down his microphone.
What do other people in the crowd do? Do they laugh? Do they cheer? Do they yell? What happens?
They roll with it.
I think honestly that nobody really cared because. I think his friends were just happy that he got up there, and went to sit back down. That's probably one of the more interesting things I've had happen.
That would be very interesting. Now, Sarah, when you look at the future of downtown Murfreesboro and all the changes, new businesses, you've got new developments, what do you see happening 10, 20 years from now?
I wonder, I think about that. Like, are we still going to be able to have these smaller town community events, you know? And my hope is that, yes, we will, that no matter how big we grow, that we'll just put effort, especially working with the city and the county, to make it a priority to still keep that nostalgic feeling of a smaller town downtown.
Now, when you travel, and I'm sure all of y'all have seen this, you go out of town, go to a different city, you typically don't see communities that have a real viable downtown square like Murfreesboro does.
Yeah, I always try to go to the downtown wherever I go, and Tennessee has some great downtowns. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of Main Street programs, and I mean, I give credit to the National Main Street Program and just the emphasis that they have put on, you know, having a director in a downtown and working to prioritize helping those small businesses thrive and bringing attention to the downtown so it doesn't deteriorate. And I think our city has done a great job. Like, they have really come back and emphasized pouring into the infrastructure and allowing some changes to happen, but then supporting those who have been here, and that takes a collaboration. It's not just a one-party thing that can make that happen.
Now, I'm sure you see studies every single year that kind of highlight retail, the direction of retail. But as far as retail goes in the downtown setting, like in downtown Murfreesboro, are we seeing a growth there nationwide? Are we seeing a decrease? Are we seeing changes where there's more restaurants coming into downtown areas? What are we seeing?
Well, definitely people still, even though online shopping is so popular, people still want that feeling of coming in and touching and talking and seeing the product. And I think what's unique about our downtown, we do have a lot of law offices and service oriented businesses, but we've got a good mix and we have some strong retail and we've got a growing population of restaurants and coffee shops and bars. And I mean, we've got probably 5 restaurants that are going to be opening in the next 6 months. And so that's exciting. So when you think about what our downtown really is focused, I think it's going to be a lot of dining entertainment over the next couple of years. And I get people in my office every week who have moved here and they have a business and they are looking for space. And there just isn't space downtown. So people are waiting for something to come available. So,
of course, we do see more living spaces that are going to be built here in the downtown area over the next couple of years. But we've also seen changes in the neighborhoods around the square where some folks are even going as far as tearing down existing homes and building new homes. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you think we'll see more of?
I mean, just from talking to people, people seem to want to come downtown. I don't know if they're more in the retirement stage and they want to be in a more walkable area, or young people, you know, have graduated from MTSU and they're wanting to live and not in a suburb, but, you know, in more of a smaller city. And Nashville is just so expensive. So it does look like people are trying to, you know, you see a house for sale and then it's gone. It's sold. So I think people are looking, lots of Airbnbs downtown, which brings in tourism, which is going to be great about the hotel.
Definitely. Again, this morning talking about Main Street Murfreesboro. We're going to take a short break and then we will be right back. Our guest today, again, Sarah Callender, Executive Director of Main Street Murfreesboro, and Dr. Gloria Bonner. And also with us today, Carl Wingruber. Did I say it?
Got it.
Good. Music City Swing. So we'll talk more about downtown Murfreesboro in just a second.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. WTNS, AM, FM, and online.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least match their prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
We're learning about Adam's Place.
My name is Carrie Shannon. It was kind of hard to leave, but once you leave and you see where you've come to, you know that you made the right decision.
Do you enjoy the food?
Yes, at Adam's Place, you feel like you are in an upscale restaurant. Really good food, good for you, and is very delicious. We enjoy it very much.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me from about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Again, talking about downtown Murfreesboro, Main Street, and concerts that are starting back up the concert series for the summer, and that first of the whole series is going to be not this Friday, but next Friday.
Right.
And again, with us today, we have Sarah Callender, Executive Director of Main Street Murfreesboro, Dr. Gloria Bonner, and Carl Wingruber.
Yes.
And Sarah, during that break, you mentioned a word that I've never heard before.
Yes.
Busking?
Busking. I just looked up the definition. It is the activity of playing music in the street or another public place for voluntary donations.
Oh.
So we are bringing in, well, we've had it, busking for quite a while. We just now learned the term.
At the farmer's market.
At the farmer's market, we have musicians that just kind of, well, that's organized. But we're having an event, what did I say?
The art crawl,
and yes. It's called Downtown After Five. It used to be Sip, Shop, and Stroll, June 14th, so the Friday after Friday Night Live. Just where the shops stay open, 5 to 8 p.m., and we're going to have busking all over the square. Carl's coming.
Yeah, I think I'm going to come back and play some saxophone.
Professional buskers. Buskers.
Yes. Professionals asking for tips. Right. I don't have to pay them. They just show up.
I never knew there was a word for those who play music on the street for tips. But that is the official title of it, I guess.
Yes. Right.
I had some musicians come up to me and ask if it was allowed, because I guess some cities maybe have a law against it, but we don't. And so like in Franklin and Nashville, if you walk down the street and you see someone playing a fiddle or something, they are busking. So give them a dollar.
Yes.
It's a cool thing because it does kind of, I don't know, it brings alive the downtown area anywhere if you see somebody, a street musician, if
right,
you would.
Right.
But yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. So that's something that we're going to see more of in the future?
Yeah, I'm trying to reach out to anybody who plays music and who just wants to come and do that and bring their instrument and set up on the sidewalk. It creates an ambiance that we're trying to make it more fun to walk around.
Now, when you think of street performers, you know, there's New York, for example, you'll see people doing acrobats in this in the street. But there is something about it that just kind of, it does bring more life to the area. And if that's something we're going to see more of, I can see where that would really grow in popularity. So how do you say to musicians, all right, well, we only want three,
yeah,
you know, that not 20 at a time.
Well, right now, I mean, I'm trying to keep control of it where I'm inviting people and saying, hey, if you know somebody, reach out to me and this is your street, and this is your street. So you go over to this corner to keep it a little bit more organized.
So, Carl, are you going to be out there at some point?
Yeah, I'll jump out there and play for a while. I usually just bring a saxophone and a tip jar and just put it out there, and I just play whatever I think of or whatever people come by and ask me to play.
Now, I'm always curious, what is that musician thinking when folks walk by and they don't stop? And then you have those who do stop and some who give a donation, some who don't. But what's going through that musician's head? Because I've always wondered that and obviously never asked.
Well, I don't have a music stand. I'm not reading music. I'm just playing out of my head so I can watch people.
Yeah.
And even if they don't stop, you know, I'll play that song from Toy Story, You've Got a Friend in Me or something. I love to trot that one out, especially if there's a lot of little kids running around. And I'll see people go walking by and they're singing the words or they're nodding their head. And you can tell they're having a good time, even if they don't stop.
Yeah.
You know, and that really is the best thing. I mean, if you want to stop and put a dollar in my bucket, fine. If you don't, if you just want to enjoy the ambience, as Sarah said, that's fine too. If I can tell they're having a good time, then I think I'm doing my job, you know?
That is a great point. Can I say that?
Yeah.
So another Main Street director was talking about, you know, people are always wanting, well, what were the results? What happened because of putting on this event? And they did something that where they had buskers and they had a volunteer sit and watch people and watch their physical expressions, and it was a change. People smiled. They might have paused and kind of laughed or did a little jig in the sidewalk. It brings happiness. And so it's not always about, and I think that's why these musicians do it. They have a passion for just performing and having people listen to them. And
it's
so
fun.
It's nice if you give them some money, and we want to support our artists, but I think everybody just, it's fun to
it's
make people
to
happy.
It's cute to see the little bitty kids that come up and they stand next to me, like so their parents can get a picture or something, or they come up and start boogieing down or something.
Yeah.
It's really funny to watch.
The sociology side of all of that has got to be fascinating. But I could imagine a lot of it just made people happier.
Right.
It really enhances the vibrancy of the downtown community. Or when a family is downtown celebrating a special event, and they walk up to Carl and ask him to play Happy Birthday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just changes the whole dynamic.
Very cool. And a lot happening downtown Murfreesboro. We're already out of time. But, Sarah, where can people learn more about what is to come in downtown?
We've got a great social media, just Main Street Murfreesboro, Instagram and Facebook. And our website is full of information. So mainstreetmurfreesboro.org.
Sounds great. And we'll post this as a podcast in just a little while on our website. But thank you all for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Scott. Thank you guys for coming with me.
Oh, it was fun.
It's fun.
You're listening to WGNS Murfreesboro. News is next.